Red, is it?
Mm-hmm.
This is another Our History project taping with former Justice John B. Swainson. We're sitting in the room, the commission room, the History Commission room in Lansing in the new Library Museum building. And with him is Roger Lane of the Michigan Supreme Court Historical Society. And to start here, I want to correct an error in the first tape that I made yesterday. I got the established the date as should have been October 18th, and I think I said the 17th. And Justice Swainson later on in the taping observed what the right date was. But just to clear that up, today now is October 19th, a Friday. And we'll go on where we left off yesterday.
Roger, let me clear one thing up also. I recall during our colloquy yesterday that we were trying to determine my age at the time I took office. And thinking about it on my drive over here this morning, I decided I was closer to 29 than I was to 30 when I took office first in January of 1955. So I was 29 and a half years old.
Boy, this is really going to be authentic history by the time we're through. See, you know, one thing that I just occurred to me overnight that I wanted to again bring up before I forgot about it. There was a case. This was not one of your cases, but you're, I think, the only presently surviving member of the majority, and this had to do. It was a very unusual procedure. It had to do with the way education, public education, is financed in Michigan. It was a case that entitled something like Governor versus the State Treasurer, and Milliken, then being governor, through some chemistry that I'm not too familiar with, was moved to take this initiative to challenge before the Supreme Court, and I think it was one of these direct proceedings where they send it out for make a little bit of a record and then come bring it back and decide whether or not there was the financing scheme based on the property tax was constitutionally viable in Michigan. And this thing came down. The case came down on the second or third last day of Justice Adams' tenure. His term was going to expire. And what the reports show on this is that Justice Brennan had drawn the case to write it. He thought he was writing the opinion of the court. And he recites this with some, evidence of annoyance in a what becomes a dissent. He got the case, he wrote it, he circulated it, and all that stuff. And then toward the end of December, let's say the 20th, or maybe my date's wrong by a week or so, that he then received, as the other justice did, a draft opinion from Justice Williams. And the day after Christmas, he got a call and said, "We got four votes. This is going to be the opinion of the court." Now, this is all written by Justice Brennan in his dissent. And he, Brennan, attributed the quick action, you know, that occurred that I'm describing now to the fact that Justice Adams was going off to court, and the inference was that without his vote that the result wouldn't be the way it was going to be. After the next year, this was immediately reconsidered. You had different members on the court. There was a case in Washington, Rodriguez out of Texas. The United States Supreme Court upheld Rodriguez. And then there's in the Michigan report somewhere, there's a one-paragraph entry that says on order of the court, we hereby vacate all this other stuff. Do you remember how that all came about? Does this ring any bells in your mind?
I've listened to your narration of those events, and I do not have any recollection of them. The only thing I could think of that might have been before us at the time was the so-called Proposition C that was on the ballot in the 1970 election. And basically, as I recall it, that would have allowed public monies to be used for private education. And whether that came before us by designation of the governor to have the court give him an advisory opinion, more or less, which he has the ability to do, I do not recall.
I was thinking of a different proceeding. Now, what you referred to, we call parochia, that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I do recall that the court did have an opinion on that and found that the proposition was viable if you take out certain language. But that's not a big thing, but certainly with your service on the court, I thought that because the others who, incidentally, Justice Adams, apparently from the early contacts I've had with him, is not going to be able to participate for reasons of health.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about was the seemed to me that during your period on the court there was sort of a rash of cases that dealt and turned on elements in criminal procedure. Now, we talked a little bit about entrapment yesterday and about double jeopardy. Do you recall that this seemed to be a watershed period for that sort of thing, or what